5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Tommy Robbins. You, why are you talking like that? We're from Stone.
I don't know, but I can't stop here, Pally.
Like the wallpaper sticks to the wall, and like the sea shark clings to the sea, like you'll never get rid of your shadow, you'll never get rid of me. Let all the others fight and fuss, whatever happens, we've got
pages that stick in a book.
Mine.
We're close to the
shadow.
River.
Shadow.
Wherever you'll find him, you'll find me. Just look. Closer than a miser, all the bloodhounds to miser me.
Closer than Smog is to all of L.A.
My shadow.
Closer than Ricky to confessing he's gay. Not a soul can bust this team in two. We stick together like glue. When it's sleeping time,
that's when we rise.
We start to swing.
You think you're so just you.
Clocks don't chime.
What a surprise.
They ring. A ding ding. Happy New Year.
Me.
Not to repeat what I said at the start. Don't need a large crowbar to break us apart.
We're alone but far from blue. Before we get finished, we'll make the town rock. We'll hit a few late spots and then a few more.
We'll start out the strinkies and maybe crouch show. Life is gonna be a wow wow.
Can we do that again?
No, I'm too tired.
Oh, please, Rob.
No, I'm swung out.
Oh, come on. I'll give you some money.
I don't need money.
What about a cup of tea?
Not thirsty.
I won't tell anybody you're gay.
Before we get finished, we'll make the sound roar. We'll hit all the late spots and then a few more. We'll start out in stringies and maybe crouch all life. It's gonna be a wow wow.
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. It is. I have no idea what it is, actually, because the clocks went back, and that always throws me out. It could be Friday, for all I know, but it's not. It is Thursday. It's 9:30 Central, episode 68 of the new Panic Room, and I never introduced myself, so hi, it's me. And I always introduce my trusty sidekick and muse and general bottle washer. Although she's never actually washed a bottle in her life. She drinks from them mostly. It's Xtina. How are you this evening, my dear?
I'm doing wonderful. Well, my wine said to tell you that I was doing wonderful.
Oh, good. Good. So, hey, it is, you know, I say when the clocks went back and it knocks me into a cocked hat every year. I don't know why they have to do it. Obviously we're on proper time now, but it's just, Everything's no, funny. The dogs start nagging me at like 6 o'clock, and literally, we have the four of them. So I've got this pack of ravenous dogs, literally following me around the house, and they're there. They surround me now. And why? Well, it's six, because they get fed at 7. But of course, tummy time, as we call it, it's
right.
7. It's dinner time. It's like feed us, fatty. You know, we're going to start on the kids. We will. But,
it's so, only an hour. It's only an hour difference. But I lost the whole day. I swear I did. I woke up today and I started doing stuff and I had a moment of panic. I was like, what day is today? And it freaked me out for a good, you know, I had to grab my phone and see what day it was. It
pulled
it from me. I thought it was Wednesday.
I think that's just time flying by, to be honest with you. But
I hate it. Don't you remember when you were a kid and the summer lasted for like 6 years or something, you know, and now it's just goes by in the blink of an eye.
In England, I mean, summer vacation, we get 6 weeks. It was like the 6 week holiday, and it's like, wow. I literally, halfway through, I was bored, stupid. There's only so much Monopoly you can play, you know. and yet now, I mean, I remember being bored as a kid. Me and my sister, and a rainy Sunday, nothing on the TV, nothing to do, bored, but, and we would just sit and watch raindrops coming down the window, and it was just, I remember being bored and waiting for, like, you know, 7 o'clock to come round when something good that was on the telly or whatever, or Knight Rider, it'd be on.
Oh, God.
Chips. It's like watching Chips. That was good. Now I can't remember the last time I was absolutely just bored, stupid like that. It was with, like, with nothing to do. Now, I was reading an article the other day that said the best thing you can do with kids is to give them that time being bored, because it stimulates. It's probably why I've got such a brilliant creative mind. Because I had to have, because, you know, we didn't have PlayStation and iPhones and iPads and Macs Xboxes and 3 million channels on the TV. You know, it was just like...
You went outside and you played, and kids look at you now when you say, go outside and do what? I don't know.
Outside.
What
am I going to do?
That's the thing.
I mean, we have, you know, my little girl, India, now, I'm bored. I'll go outside, Why? Well, we have a pool and we have a play skate, which has got a slide and monkey bars and climbing things and swings.
There's nothing to do.
There's nothing. she finally goes out grudgingly, and then I find she's up a tree. We've got all this stuff. Are you up a climbing fucking? But she's fine. Oh, hey, go climb trees, you know. Anyway, a little bit of politics, people. Obviously, the dotard is in South Korea, or some people, some Trump supporters have been saying what a good job he's doing in North Korea, they were saying, visiting North Korea. It's not in the North, you fuckwits. I'd tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bring in Trump, and then I'm going to tell my Donald Trump joke, okay?
Grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
I love that. Right, okay.
Jim's
Donald Trump joke. I have many, actually, but this is one of my favourite ones. And okay, so Donald Trump dies and goes up to heaven. So it's off to a great start, this gag, obviously. Dies and goes to heaven, gets the pearly gates, and St. Peter comes out, and he looks at him like, yeah, you've got to be joking, pal. And old Trump says, I'll explain myself. Said, when I was a young man, I gave $10 to Christian Aid to help the poor people. And some peace. Well, right, okay. Well, I'll go see what God has to say. Tootles off, comes back sort of 10, 15 minutes later. He said, "Sorry, dude. Sorry, Trump. You know, you, other place for you. You know, it's hell for you." And Trump said, "No. Just wait a minute. You know. And sort of, you know, a few years after that, I gave $10 for the Bosnia appeal to help the displaced citizens down there." So St. Peter sighed. He's like, "Fine, okay, I've sort of got it." So he pootles off, goes to see God, comes back sort of half an hour or so later. So, "Look, no, I'm sorry, it's the other place for you because, you know, you really." And Trump said, "Oh, no, hold on. And literally just last year, you know, I gave $10 to Oxfam, which is a British thing, people. I gave $10 to Oxfam for the homeless people." And St. Peter, fair enough. So he pootles off. Well, a couple of hours later, God turns up at the pearly gates, you know, the big man himself. And Trump says, "Wow, yeah, of course, you know, I've seen sense. And what have you got to say to me, guys?" "Well, so you're Donald Trump, yeah, and you gave 10 bucks for the homeless and 10 bucks for Christian Aid, 10 bucks for Bosnia." "Yeah." I said, "What have you got to say?" And God looks him in the eye and says, "Look, here's your 30 bucks back now. Fuck off." Thank you. I'm here all week enjoying the chicken. So there you go. So, a little bit of levity there because, you know, we might not be here tomorrow. The fat idiot will open his mouth and we'll all be gone. So let's make the most of it, shall we? So I presume we do have a show. I know we do because I'm reading it here. We've got Extina. I don't know who the fuck that is. We've got Jerry R. Gray. We've got Denise R. Bryson. We've got Vicky the reviewer. And you.
And so look, I think we've had like at least 2 weeks now where there have not been any hard to pronounce names. See, I do think
you are slacking.
You are slacking.
You need to get.
I know you should wait until next week. I got some doozies for you. So.
Oh, have you? Thanks for that. I might be off that week then.
No.
Might be off here. I'm happy to get a letter from my mum. I've got a varuka and I can't do it. So, what happens now? As you know, I ask this every week. I mean, I don't know what's going on. How are you? How have you been? Are you what have you been working on?
What have I been working on? Are you really asking me that question? I didn't prepare an answer for that.
Seriously?
I know.
Sleeping,
well,
mainly. Mm.
I know, yes, definitely. It is often. And, you know, now with the time change, I'm getting up earlier, and I don't like it at all. Like, I wake up at, like, I think it was, like, 9-something today, and I was very upset because it was that's just way too early. That, you know, there's no reason to be up before 10. There just isn't.
You do that by the time you get up. I've been up 4.5 hours by the time.
Yeah,
you
I know. And the bad thing is I can't even say that I stay up too late at night anymore. I can't even say that, but I still, I don't want to get up before 10.
Yeah. Well, that was a killer. I mean, early part of the week. I finished Mr. Mercedes, which is a must see, people. And I'm on Stranger Things now. And it took me 3 nights to see episode 1 because I was just getting to it and then not, be falling asleep. I thought, why not? It's only 10 o'clock. Why am I not? And of course, in real time, it was 11, you know, so I was sort of nodding off there. I'm getting used to it, but it's good. I mean, the first season was fantastic. The second season is looking good. So
I don't know anything about it. I seriously don't know anything about it.
You should. It is brilliant. It is good, refreshing, well written, well acted, well formulated TV. Yeah. I wholeheartedly recommend it. Wholeheartedly, it's brilliant, and it doesn't have Kevin Spacey in it, which is good.
Oh God!
Because I was reading today. His latest film. They're actually, even though it's finished and the trailer's been out, they're reshooting all his scenes with Christopher Plummer They're literally taking him out of the movie, which has never been done before.
Wow.
Not for a living. I mean, sometimes if an actor dies, you know, they have to do that, but they're just sort of removing him from. And House of Cards has been cancelled. I mean, he's become a bit of a It's just everybody seems to be fiddling with everybody else. I'm a big Kevin Spacey fan. He's one of those actors. I remember seeing him in Life of David Gray? Brilliant film. Obviously The Usual Suspects.
Yes, I loved that one. And The Negotiator. I loved The Negotiator.
Yeah, and he was in, was Denzel Washington, wasn't it?
Oh, he was in Seven.
He was John Doe in Seven. Again, one of my favourite of his films, he played Bobby Darin in Beyond the Sea, which was a great biopic of Bobby. I'm a big Bobby Darin fan. Anybody listened in last week will know. A very talented guy, and suddenly he's a fiddler, which is again, you don't know whether it's hysteria or people trying to get the 50 minutes of fame or what, but you know, everything's to be believed. Everybody's fiddling everybody else, and I feel left out. Nobody's fiddled with me. You know,
I can't believe you said that.
No one's fiddled with me, so I shall give my address out at the end of the show. Anyone interested? So,
yes.
There you go. I'm up for a fiddling.
Becky, I know Becky's listening. So if you want a book, you know, you just wait until at the end of the show here. And
she wants a book. not one of the thick ones. Obviously, I'm not
oh
that
my
good.
God. It's kind of like, what would you do for a Klondike bar? But this is, what would you do for a James Longmore book? You know.
we should get
a single for that.
What part of him would you fiddle with for a book? You know, and I'd even sign it. I really would.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, I think we need to raise the tone a little bit. What's going on now? Who's our first guest, Maria?
We have our first guest, Denise J. Bryson.
Oh, that's it, is it? That's all you've got to say?
That's all I have, yes. What?
That was your big moment, actually. You know, I built
that
up to it, and you failed miserably. I was just terrible. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Right, I'll tell you what we'll do. So you can apologise to Denise for such a terrible, terrible intro. We're going to bring her on. You can apologise. Hi, Denise. How are you?
Hi, James. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Christina has an apology to make. Her intro for you was terrible. It was awful. Really?
Well, that's just me. Simple and plain, just Denise J. Bryson.
Well, I'm glad you're happy. I'm glad you're happy. So Denise is here to talk to us about her book, The Footsteps of a Killer. Do tell us more.
Well, I guess I could tell you where it came from, which was a dream that I had. I've been a very avid dreamer since I was a kid, and I literally dreamed the beginning of it, the middle, and the end, and then I had to do the filler myself, so I kind of nutty that way.
You know, I have dreams. I have bad dreams I wake up from, and I tell people, and they're always telling me, you should write that down.
You should.
No,
you should.
No.
Yes.
That's
that
the
really
point.
Cool,
well, yeah, no, I'll tell you, I'm going to plug my own book here, which is very unprofessional, but I'm going to do it anyway. My book, Flanagan, my first novel that was accepted, was literally from a dream that I had. I woke up with it very vivid in my mind, and I wrote it down, and there you go. So it just, so you need
yeah,
to.
Exactly. That's
you
how
need
I do
to.
It. I wake up, and after I've wiped the sweat off my face and the tears, I start writing them down.
Wow.
Fantastic. So is that where all of your ideas come from, Denise? Or just most of them? Or?
A lot of them, yeah. A big load of them, yeah, definitely.
Dream.
That is fantastic.
Wow.
No, that's great. I mean, it's the creative mind at its purest, isn't it? It means you're actually, you're working you know, literally 24 hours.
While
because
I'm asleep, yeah.
your brain is, it is. I mean, it's great. I love it. Yeah, we can actually cram more in.
Oh, gosh.
Although sometimes you have those really vivid dreams, and it's like, you know, you've been awake. It's like you've not slept.
Right.
You know, you wake up exhausted.
I wake up tired.
You know.
A lot of mornings I wake up tired. Been running all night.
Yeah. Well, ex-Tina, actually, she dreams that she's asleep. So she actually sleeps in her dreams.
Which is
a talent. It's like in the movie. The movies where they wake up and then something happens, then they wake up again. I saw a film a while ago, and they woke up that like three times. That I think, in fact, as I say a film, it was The Simpsons. He woke up and something happened. He woke up like three times at least. It was funny, but yeah, I like
no,
it.
You know,
I tell you, I just. Sorry, was I talking while you're interrupting again? I wanted to share this with you. Speaking of dreams, so it's kind of relevant. I actually finally watched the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street the other week. And it was good. I sat down ready to hate it. And it was really, really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was incredibly well done. It captured the essence of... And it went back to Freddy Krueger being a bad guy, not some wisecracking good old boy, you know. And they captured that. It was very well done. Very well done.
I agree. I remember it came out close to when the remake of Friday the 13th came out. And that one I thought was just garbage. I really did.
That was dire. It was dire.
Yeah. Mm. And it even had an actor who I think I really liked. It wasn't that guy from... Oh, who was in that? The guy from Supernatural. Jared Padalecki, I think, was in it. And I think he's, like, super hot, so I wanted to like it so bad. And it just sucked. It really did.
It was terrible.
It was. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear more about your book, Denise. Do you have a rating for us? In silence.
Hello, Denise, don't go. She's gone. What did you say to her?
I didn't say anything. Why?
Maybe AT&T have let us down again. I don't know. But I'm sure she will. Let's talk amongst ourselves for a little while.
Well, I was going to say when we were talking about dreams that I remember having a really cool one, and I woke up in the middle of the night and thought, I'm going to write this down. And so I did. I started writing it down. And when I woke up the next morning, you know, really woke up, and I looked at the paper, it just was gibberish. It made no sense. It was bad. So I'm not good. You know, you remember Stephen Helms? Remember?
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah, he writes a lot. I mean, all of his things are, I think, these bad dreams, or not even bad. They're just dreams that he's had. But he says that he keeps a... What are those devices? Device where you talk into it, you know? Recorder thingy?
A recorder? A voice recorder? Or a dictaphone?
He keeps one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, so I used to have one of those. And one of my favorite old jokes is, can I use your dictaphone? No, can you use your finger like everybody else? But I tend to, because I write notes, I use the notes function on my phone, because it syncs with my computer, so instead of having to transcribe them, it's just there, and I just cut and paste, which is, anyway, we have Denise back.
Yay.
Hey, Denise, you're back. What happened there? What went wrong?
I must have fell off the chair. I don't know.
How much have you had to drink?
Not enough, clearly.
I have to catch up then.
Maybe not.
So we were going to have a reading. Are you up to reading for us?
I certainly am.
Yay!
Awesome. You go for it. The airwaves are yours, Mom.
All right. Lovely. Okay. Well, this is from, of course, In the Footsteps of a Killer, where my heroine, her name is Leah, she's been plagued by nightmares and dead dreams of a killer ever since she was a child. And he was already dead when she was a kid, so here we go.
Okay.
The dream started with Leah standing in front of the curio shop. Through the window, he saw the little man. Only this time, there was a woman as well. She was small, but a bit bigger than her husband. The two of them were in the shop. Leah's dream self walked into the shop. There was another man there, too. She couldn't see his face, but he was holding both stupid jumpsuits. It looked even more hideous in her dream than they had in person. She watched as the man dropped the shoes onto the floor and casually slipped them onto his bare feet. They seemed to breathe as if coming to life. He turned and walked slowly out of the store with the most nefarious smile on his face that Leah had ever seen. There were no eyes and no nose, just that god-awful smile like a Cheshire cat, but not in a good way. The little woman ran after him while the little man picked up the phone. Dream Leah watched from a short distance away. Her eyes grew wide in fear as she watched the man pull out a knife. In a slow motion, the dream's only offer, he plunged the knife deep into the woman's chest. Her hands grew protectively, and she grabbed desperately for the knife. The man's grip was on steel, and he was not letting go of the knife until he was good and ready. She looked over at Lee, who stood frozen in time. He pulled the knife and pointed at her. Her hand flew to her chest as she bolted upright in the bed. She could have sworn the warm flow of her own blood coming through her fingertips. Tears streamed down her face, and her breathing came in hard, shallow gasps. It took her 3 hours a few minutes to adjust to the darkness. Then she realized she was at home and sitting straight up in her own bed. Unbeknownst to her, it was the first of Albert's 5. Damn, dreams are coming back. But this one, she whispered. This night, she dreamed again. This time, she found herself sitting in the back of a pickup truck. And there were two people out in the front seat. They both smelled of alcohol. And judging from the view, the woman was easy. Dream Leah felt uncomfortable, but unable to leave. I'm going to make you feel real good, the man's voice said. The woman gave him a smile. Leah wanted to get out of the truck, but the dream held her hostage. The two continued to kiss as if she wasn't even there. Then, the woman started gasping. At first, Leah thought she might be choking on something. When she looked over the seat, she saw the something was the man's hands around the woman's neck. He was strangling. Leah tried to move, but no sound came out. She wanted to somehow help, but was frozen. All she could do was watch hopelessly. Then the man stopped. Maybe he had only been doing that kinky, choking while having sex thing with the blonde. Then she saw his hand. She saw the moon reflecting off of something shiny, long and metallic in his hand. He took the blade deep into the older woman's chest, and using his feet on the driver's side door to stabilize himself, he pushed it until his hand seemed to disappear into the wound. The woman had been trying to catch her breath while the blade sliced into her internal organs. Blood began to flow down the sides of the stomach and pool under her back. The man came back to his feet and laid his head back on the headrest.
Wow, now that's a good fuck. Although personally, I think pussy's overrated, he said.
Then he turned to Leah. Your pretty little black ass is next. Leah's eyes shot open. She lay perfectly still in her bed, her body shaking and covered in sweat. It was a whole 7 minutes before she realized that she was actually safe.
Holding
to her chest.
Yay, awesome. That was intense stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking you have this as a bad dream? I mean, you know, if I told you my really bad dream, you would probably laugh at me because it's kind of, you know, pretty lame compared
lame.
To that.
Lame.
That's really
yeah.
cool. Yeah, very lame. I'm not even going to tell you.
No, bad dreams are lame.
No, that's us, yeah.
That was pretty cool, though.
I was intense. I was on, literally on the edge of my seat there. I was literally,
that's
actually.
Awesome.
So that was good. Mm.
Thank you. Appreciate
I
that.
I like
guy.
That. Yeah. So, I mean, is this? I mean, do you write in other genres at all, Denise? Or is this your niche and you're sticking to it?
That's my main genre is the horror, the paranormal. The spooky, the good and bad fight. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
good ones, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
Would there be another genre you'd like to have a crack at? Is the one that I'd really like to do, like dolphin romance stories or something?
I have a friend who is afraid of horror. She won't read my books. She'll buy it, but she won't read it. So I thought try my hand at a little romance so she could read it. So
mm-hmm.
I wrote this thing, and she read the first page of it, you know, the catch page, the prologue page. She read that, got the book down, looked at me and said, "So, you went from writing horror to porn." Absolutely.
Nice.
I think I can start my hand in romance and just tone it down. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was like only one thing, and she was really fucked up.
Bless.
So who I'm always curious to find out, like, who do you like to read? What, do you read the same genre that you write in?
I do. Stephen King, John Saul, Dean Koontz.
Who was the second person you said after Stephen King?
John Saul.
Really?
Saul.
I
yeah.
absolutely love him. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
I haven't read anything recently. I don't even know if he writes anything recently. But oh my goodness, when I was younger, he was my absolute favorite. I think I even liked him better than Stephen King at first. Just because he's so much easier to get into, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Suffer the Children, I think that one was my absolute favorite. That was so good.
I remember reading that a long, long time ago. Yeah, it was a great book, yeah.
And you know, yeah. The Unloved, I think that was the first book I ever read by him was The Unloved. And I've probably read that 4 or 5 times throughout my life.
Awesome.
And every single time you get to the, I don't know what you call it, you know, the plot twist or, you know, what's really
mm-hmm.
going on. I'm surprised every time. It's like I didn't even... I know, isn't that weird? It's like I've read it a million times, but
yeah.
I still get to that part. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a sign of a good book. It's funny, if I read a good friend of mine. He'd written it. It was like a crime thriller. And I actually proofread. I was one of his beta readers. Because he had some Cockney characters in, and I actually helped him write the Cockney dialogue. So I'd read this thing at least twice, and then when it came out, obviously I got a proper copy, and I sat and read it. And yeah, like you said, the twist, it hit me again. It's like, oh, I think that's a sign of a really good book. Yeah,
I agree. I love that. I do.
Surprise
yeah.
the second time.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Oh, so Denise has volunteered. You know, I never get anybody to volunteer. Usually I assign somebody, you know,
yeah.
the little fun stuff here. But she actually volunteered to tell us an embarrassing story. How cool is
that?
Oh,
fantastic. Right, okay, well, let's do the jingle and we'll go with it.
Hi, I'm Patty. And I'm Thelma. What is your most embarrassing story?
That's hysterical.
I love that. I do.
I love that show. Okay, well, I have one that I was going to tell, but I think I need to tell my other one. Okay, so I'm approximately
I'm a sheer dude, and I'm hanging out with my buddies. Well, I'm hanging out with me and my guys, weekend guys. I have on this beautiful white dress, beautiful white shoes. The dress, I have a white hat that has a veil. I look like I'm about to get married. So we party all night long, good old time. We get back to my house, it's after 2. And of course, being a beer drinker, it tends to, run through you. So here I am at the front door of my house, fumbling with my key and doing the dance. Can't get the door open. I don't want to knock and wake my mother up. I don't want to let her see me in this state. Well, needless to say, I didn't really make it. By the time I got to the restroom, I was done.
Excellent.
I know. Yeah. I love. I love.
You know, okay, screw it. You go get cleaned up.
So
we love it. We do like our toilet stories on this show. The more toilets, the better. That's what I always say. You can never have too many toilet stories. And boy, do we have some toilet stories.
It just wouldn't be a show without at least one.
No, it would not.
Sometimes me and Becky have, bets going to see how long it'll take you to mention, poo or something.
Yeah. Well, I haven't. You did, so...
I did. Oh, no.
Congratulations.
I keep doing that tonight. I think maybe I need to drink more. Or is it more?
Yeah,
or less?
Maybe you should. Or you stay sober and we'll all drink more. One of the two.
No, that would definitely not be fun for me. No.
Mm-hmm.
I can feed you fuckers and then you'll be all set.
So, what are you working on now, Denise?
I'm working on the sequel to it. The Eyes of the Killer, where our killer boy is on another rampage, and we're trying to stop him again. This time he's coming back, so a little extra help from the devil. He's got some extra powers that she's got to try and pull up again.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So it looks like we are getting close to the end of our first segment here. The time goes by so fast. Can you tell us where we can find you online?
Yes, I'm almost everywhere, I guess. You can find me on Facebook at author Denise J. Bryson. I'm on Twitter under my same name, Denise J. Bryson. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Studio 32, which is just a group of people in the entertainment field in town. I guess the main ones are Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Haven't quite gotten to the Snapchat yet.
Awesome. I do believe we have...
She's everywhere. She's everywhere.
She is.
That's brilliant. I'm on Facebook. But you are everywhere. That's right. Stage 32 for now. I'm actually a member of Stage 32 from back in my scriptwriting days. And it is a great... I mean, again, any writers listening, it is a great resource, people. It's a great... I'm free as well. So, sign a little tip. A little tip out there. So sign up.
Well, usually I tell everybody that, I have all their links up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk, Denise, they can do it there. But she's on so many places, I don't think I got them all. But I did get quite a few of them, so.
The main ones, the big ones.
Right,
that's
right,
the big ones.
Right. We like big
ones. So will you promise to come back and see us, Denise?
Yes. Yay. Another embarrassing story.
See, I put you on the spot there because you can't say no. I mean, that'd be pretty rude. If you're like, no, I'm not
yeah, this,
back there. So.
This is legally binding, so you've got to come back. So there,
and
we've got you now. We've got you.
I thank you very much, Denise, for coming out and seeing us. And I say
thank
seeing
you
us.
So much.
James always makes fun of me when I say that, but so what? Goodness.
You just don't. You pass. She.
When
Xtina, she had a few drinks. She's passed Karen, so.
I might.
Which is nice.
You. Yeah, you don't know.
Well, Denise, it's been an absolute pleasure. We shall see you again, and we're going to go into our break now. So we will speak to you later.
All right.
Thank you.
So much.
Bye, Denise.
Okie doke. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Awesome. What a nice life. It's like, remind me a bit of Becky, always happy. I like happy
right.
people. Happy people. So,
are we saying that, like, I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Am I not happy every time? I think I'm happy, right?
You're drunk.
Right?
I mean, is that the same?
Hey, now.
The same thing?
You know, you don't know. Denise could have been drunk. Becky could be drunk every week. You don't know, do you?
I do not know. No, you are quite right there. Are you sober enough to do commercials this week?
I think I am. I missed it 2 weeks in a row, so I'm pretty sure
I know.
Here we go. Okay, Hellbound Books is proud to bring you our latest anthologies, Demons, Devils, and Denizens of Hell, Volume 2, another infernal dose of demonic delights for you to dig into, and Beautiful Tragedies, an anthology of gorgeous art poetry illuminating the beauty of love gone wrong. Both are available on all platforms. Go to hellboundbookspublishing.com to learn more. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read this fall, check out Now Erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com. And I don't know how to, like, I don't know what this, we're on YouTube, or wait, what are we on now? We're on iTunes now, too, so.
Well, iTunes and YouTube, yes, we are on iTunes. You can, if you just put in Panic Room Radio Show, then you should find it. Or you can go to the Panic Room website and find it, all the Hellbound Books. Publishing.com website and find the link. There, it's everywhere, you can't miss it. Sign up, get it on iTunes, people. Get it on iTunes. And for people who have the app, it's recently been updated, so make sure you update that. So, because it's all exciting. It's all exciting. So anyway, speaking of exciting things, it's that time of an evening where I need to go for a wee-wee, so we're going to hit the musical interlude, and I'm going to go for a wee.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together, weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome back to part two.
Tangdae를 앞두고 경제 발전과 인민 생활 향상에 크게 이바지할 수 있는 수많은 주요 대상 건설을 짧은 기간에 훌륭히 완공하고 당 중앙의 중종의 보고서들을 보내어 왔습니다.
Well, I thought we had the dotard on, so I thought we'd have Kim on as well. So good evening to you, Kim. I know he does listen in. He loves the show. So it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, young Kim, to see you. Get a proper haircut, dude. All right, you know, look a bit of a twat, to be quite honest. So there you go. In fact, it's funny. You could actually. I was talking to somebody today. Trump's—he's over there. Yeah, he's over in South Korea. I think he's in Japan now. But he's next door, literally. He could pop in, literally. Just go pop round, go see Kim, have a cup of tea, maybe a coconut macaroon, and just have a chat. You know, and it could be they could get on. You know, just settle the differences over a nice mug of Rosie Lee there, and everything would be happy. Why? Yeah, you know, literally, just pop in, Trump, if you're listening. Just go around, yeah? Go knock on the door. Sorry, is Kim in? Is your Kim? Is it your Kim out coming out to play? And then have a play, get the marbles in him or something, and just talk it over. You know, get on, because, you know, we're all people. You know, we both got bad haircuts. You could swap, you know, hairdresser stories and such and laugh at each other's hair. But there you go. So that's Jim's Solving World Problems Corner, part one. So next week we'll be talking about how to reconcile the Chinese and the Russians. So look forward to that one.
You'll do anything to get away from Baseball Corner, won't you?
Oh, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yeah. So, hey, we should have, and I forgot what our number is, we should have Becky. Becky reviewer, and I don't, where is she? Where are you, Becky? I think she's here. I think she's here. Are you there, Becky? Are you there?
You didn't play a little jingle. Why didn't you
play
the jingle?
I can't find it. I'm gonna have to do it manually. Oh no!
Oh crap!
We're gonna have to review something. Oh no! There we go. Not as good as Mario, who did the actual jingle, bless him. But so anyway, how are you? How are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine too. Yo.
Oh my God, that made me laugh. You did that really good, James.
Yeah, you really did.
Well, I get to practice it every week, so so hey, Becky, what have you got to review for us this week?
I always pronounce the name of this wrong, so you're gonna have to correct me. Tenebrian.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, well done.
You did it right.
You do better than Xtina does it. Yeah, there you go.
Hey.
Xtina always gets it wrong.
I haven't had a stuff the first time.
This is a book by, what's his name? No, I'm just kidding. James, one more.
Do you know, I'm told he's really good. Actually.
Yeah,
I'm told he's really, really good, you know, so buy the book, people.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. This is really good. This is a really good one. I really, really have enjoyed this. It starts out, it's about a young guy who is dabbling in making a film for a local film festival, and he has a crew and a friend, and you know they're at this gathering, and with all of them together, where they get their assignments that have to go into their movies and whatever. And then after they get all that, they leave and they go to their location that they picked out. And boy, do they have a hell of a location picked out.
Yeah.
And I mean, really, really, it gave me the creep because, you know, I can see this happening in my mind.
Yeah, I could too. You know, I really enjoyed it so much. I remember one of the scenes, and I think it's actually one of the scenes that he read on the show that, you know, but the one character was outside of the school, and it was like pitch black all around him. He couldn't see anything, and I could feel that. I could feel the heavy darkness. It was so creepy. It was. I really
it
enjoyed
really,
it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, and there were a few places in it where, you know, I giggled, like when the chair leg fell through the floor in the gym floor.
Yep.
I lost it because, I mean, and it was just perfectly placed, too, because I'm, like, sitting on the edge of my seat, and then the next couple of pages, I'm like, oh, that is so something that would happen to me, you know? This is a really good one, yeah.
And now that, you know, because you've read it now, spoiler, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but the scene when Ashlyn comes walking back from being outside, do you remember that? And she's, like, dangling something in her hands, and, you know, she doesn't really come right out and tell you at first what she's got dangling in her hands, and then when you find out what it is, you're like, oh, my God.
Yes.
That was so cool.
Yes.
I love that scene. I could see that in a movie. I could. That was pretty cool.
It actually started life as a screenplay.
Really?
I had an agent in the UK who was shopping it around, and it came pretty close, as close as these things do, to being picked up by a sort of a smallish independent production company over there in England. But that's the movie business. It was that close but no cigar, as Bill Clinton would put it. But it started off as a screenplay that I wrote in 2 weeks. I rattled that off in 2 weeks. Again, it's what we were saying to as we were talking with Denise earlier, you know, about it was a dream. I had the dream that spawned it, and it literally sat down and it just came out. It was just all there, fully formed. And then, I mean, I sat on it for a while, I was trying to shop it as a screenplay, and then thought, well, you know, it's a great little story. It draws from my own experience in the, you know, the independent movie scene.
And that really
comes
through. That's interesting.
And,
yes,
you know, I thought, well, it deserves to be out there. So Tinebrin was born. That's how it that's how it came about. There's another little story to go with it, funnily enough. It was originally called Black Mass, because obviously they're going to perform Black Mass. And I actually, as I was shopping the screenplay, I thought I'd put together a little mock website. And so I bought blackmassthemovie.com. And literally, I mean, I then obviously it was sat there. So then I got an email from somebody wanting to buy it. And obviously there's the Johnny Depp film. About Whitey Bulger, the gangster, and I made an absolute bloody killer. It cost me like $15, and I'll not disclose how much I made on that, but because obviously they bought it from me, which was fantastic. And story out there for you. I mean, that's one of those once in a lifetime coincidences, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I keep hearing, you know, you guys have these dreams and you turn them into books and how scary they are. And that was pretty eerie. It really was. There were some really eerie moments in it. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to know what you eat before you go to bed.
I know. And now I'm thinking, okay, a dream I had one time that I was terrified. This is so funny. I was terrified of this dream. Do you guys remember those silly bands, like, I don't know, I can't remember how many years ago, but the kids had these silly bands that were like, they were bracelets that they wore on their wrists that were just like rubber bands, but they were shaped into like things, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a dream that there was this dog, and he was made out of silly bands.
Oh my God.
Okay. And that was creepy to me.
That's
and it was
great.
All like
yeah.
rainbow colored. It was this rainbow colored silly band dog that I was scared of. So that's my scary dream, okay?
Again, that would be a great sort of Twilight Zone style. So you should write these.
Yeah,
even if you make a short story out of it.
Yeah.
Even if you make a short, you know, I mean, that is our, as we said to Denise, you know, that is, as creatives, as writers, that is our resource. I mean, you've got me, Brian Wilson used to dream entire songs. The entire song would be formed in his brain before he even wrote a note down. You know, and you owe it to yourself and everyone else, really. Write them down.
I've come up with poetry like that. I mean, I'll be... I'll wake up out of a sound sleep with a couple of stanzas, and then I won't be able to go to sleep until I finish them. And, you know, I'm sleeping in the middle of stanzas. That's kind of cool, but it just makes me think it's... not really coming from me. That's the only way I can think of it. You know, I'm freaking sleeping, so I'm channeling something. I don't know what. And that's kind of creepy to me too.
It's coming from your brain. It's coming from your brain.
She
that's
has a
where
brain?
It's coming from.
Hey now.
what's not been pickled by wine? Yeah, something left. There's something left in there, I'm sure. So, but anyway, Becky, where can our listener buy this fantastic book called Tenebrin by James Hazelton Moore? Buy the book, people, so I can feed my kids.
Yeah, baby needs new shoes.
Yeah, baby, your baby's got bigger feet than me now. Mm.
You can get the book on the Hellbound Books website.
No, you can't.
I was going to say, I don't think
no.
that,
no. Wait a minute.
Sorry,
apologies
to Nick Gabowski at Black Bedsheet Books. That's where you can get it from.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Thank you.
Whoops. Crap.
Whoops. You know, you can get it from my website.
Yes, your website. That's
my website.
Your website. Yeah.
Mm.
Sorry about that.
That's the one. Sorry, Nick. Mm. And obviously it's on Amazon. They say it's everywhere. I think you can get it on everything now, which is fantastic. So
I know you can get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, as I say, buy the book, people. It's a good one, and I will be writing a sequel to it. Hopefully later, sort of midway through next year. So hopefully the sequel will be out next year as well. So that'll be a doozy as well, I promise.
You know,
oh,
I I was gonna say this earlier, but I forgot because you know I'm drinking. But because your characters are so real, I remember getting almost done. I mean, I was so close to the end and thinking, I wonder, you know, if I could help for a happily ever after. And you know, I'm thinking, who knows? Could it be like all a dream or something? Like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't.
No. And we're going to have a sequel to Flanagan sometime. Yeah. Please.
I think to be fair for Flanagan, it would be a prequel. I would like to delve into the life before that.
I want to read this book now. I have not read this one, and I love the cover.
Are you serious?
I know. I'm bad. But I love the cover.
Becky, she's had Pete for like 2 years and not even looked at it yet. So don't hold your breath.
I don't have that
don't
one
hold
either.
Your breath.
I'll have to get that one.
Yes, you
but,
should.
Yeah,
you
have
you
to read
Flanagan.
I want to. Yeah,
I
will.
I thought you read it. I honestly thought you read it, Christina. But
no.
Well, if you can't be bothered, fair enough.
I bought it on Kindle. I did. I have it. I just have not read it yet.
Well, when you do, it's a good one. Again, if I say so myself, obviously.
It's really
good. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh. Was I the only one who heard that? Right, okay. We need to say goodbye to Becky now.
Okay.
As always, a pleasure to hear your happy, jolly voice on the airwaves.
Thank you.
And we will speak to you again next week. So we need to...
Bye,
we've got Jerry waiting on the line. So thank you so much, Becky. We'll speak to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye, y'all. I think she was mocking me there, but I'm excited. I mean, hopefully you're excited as well. She's there. We're gonna bring her on now. We have Jerry R. Gray. Are you there, Mom?
Hello, James. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
There.
You do not. Are you sure? You do not sound like you should. In my mind. No.
How does it sound?
No, you, I don't know, not like that. You just sound, it's just all wrong. No. I mean, you sound nice, but not, I mean, we've corresponded, you know, for quite a while now.
Yes, we have.
And I'm delighted to finally get to speak to you. I mean, we had this last week with Isabel Blackthorne as well, and it's nice to be able to put a voice to the name. I have to say, so thank
nice.
You for being on and welcome. And I have to
say,
Amnesia Girl is one of the most fun books I've read in a long, long time, I have to say. It's just so unique and different and eclectic and just out there and fun. You know, absolutely adore the book. It's great. So,
I love that cover. It's a really good cover.
It's the whole thing is just fantastic, but it's such a bloody good read. It just sort of it drags you in from the first few lines and takes you on this jolly ride that's just I mean, if this came from one of your dreams, Jerry, then you know you must have.
Oh wow!
You must be wired up very, very odd.
I have a lot of very strange dreams. Some of the book, I don't know, maybe some of it came from my dreams. I mean, it all came from my very demented mind. And it originally started out in the 70s as a play that was called The Joy of Insanity. And that didn't go anywhere. I had sent it out to an agent in San Francisco. And I thought, a San Francisco agent would appreciate the bizarre humor in this play. She mailed it back to me and wrote on the first page in red pencil, "This is vulgar."
Oh wow!
So that was a plus point, wasn't it? I like
that.
It
was
a plus.
Yes, I was doing something right even back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I was young and I
you're ahead
I, you know,
of your
just,
time.
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
I was actually very discouraged by it and just took the whole book and threw it in a box and said, ah, you know, I'm just going to forget about it and move on with my life, move on with my writing career. And I did, but, you know, it nagged at the back of my mind for years and until I sat down and said, okay, I'm going to finally write this book, bring these characters to life, and then you can, you know, you can leave me in peace. So
mm-hmm.
That's what I did. And the Amnesia Girl was born.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, the characters are just, I mean, like, you know, like Steve was saying earlier, you know, you get to know them, you know, and as bizarre as some of them are, you know, you sort of, you know, you're on the journey with them. It's kind of an odyssey, you know, almost, what do you call it, a buddy story? I suppose it would be. If it was filmed, it would be a buddy film, I guess. But, it's just almost defies genre. I think we sort of labeled it as bizarro, but that's probably the nearest we could find.
Yeah,
it's just so wildly different. It's just amazing. Yeah,
it's like bizarro slash dark humor slash adventure. I don't know, just
mm-hmm.
slash
bit of everything. Yeah, bit
yeah.
of everything. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely comedic, and I think that's what appeals to me, because I you know, very dark
Hearing
sense of humor.
Hearing the description of the different genres kind of reminds me of, like, Chuck Palahniuk or something, because he's definitely, you know, it's a
Do you
dark
know,
humor, but some of it is...
I maybe... Yeah, it ain't, to be fair, I think you may have hit the nail on that. It's the sort of thing that Chuck would write, because he's always just on the edge of believability, is Chuck, just.
Yeah, well,
and I think Jerry is as well.
Some of his later novels have been total,
yeah.
what I would think, of bizarro, kind of like, you know, Damned and Doomed. Those were not believable in the least, you know, but they were still
no.
very good.
But they're not, well, that's the thing with Chuck, they're not meant to be. You know, he writes with his tongue firmly in his cheek, and they're not, I mean, even, to be fair, even Fight Club, you know, when you look at it and analyze it, Fight Club was pretty much out there. You know, the basic premise. I mean, it was billed as a story about soap. You know, and
right.
if you look at it that way, it's about soap making. That was the crux of the movie, which is great. I love his writing.
Me too. I was always a huge fan.
Unfortunately, I'm not familiar with his work, but I'll have to read it. It sounds interesting.
You should, Jerry. Yeah, I think you will identify with it definitely. Yeah.
James, did you read Pygmy?
No.
Pygmy, no. No, I did
you
not.
You have to look it up. I tried, but it's written so strangely that it's very, very difficult. You'll have to I can't even describe it. I really can't. It's like written in the perspective of this foreign guy who comes over here. And so, I mean, even the way he talks just is not... It's just the strangest thing, and it takes a really long time to kind of, like, get into the groove of it's weird. It really is. But you should, like, look it up, because I think you would enjoy it in an odd kind of weird way.
Oh,
I like odd, weird things.
Odd, weird is good. It's nice to read something that is challenging everything. I mean, I've read a couple of Irving Welsh. I've read Trainspotting. I've read Porno, which is the sequel to Trainspotting. And he writes in colloquial Scottish. The dialogue is in colloquial Scottish. And you have to really focus on concentrate on what you're reading. Otherwise, you miss it. I mean, obviously, I guess if you were, you know, from Glasgow, you'd catch it. But again, a delightful read. Delightful read. But,
I'm sorry.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, speaking of, you know, Scottish dialect, I have such a hard time with that whenever somebody is speaking in a Scottish dialect in a movie or something. I cannot understand, like, what one word they're saying.
You know, we had
a guest on the show.
We had a guest on the show, and I think James could understand him okay. I could not understand a word he said. It was awful. And he had such a – I loved listening to him. But I couldn't make out hardly anything. It was fascinating just to listen to that.
I mean, there's Scottish and Scottish. I mean, it's funny. I mean, Glasgow and Edinburgh, you can drive between the two in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I've done that. But the dialect, the Edinburgh accent is more, I think, a lot more like Mrs. Doubtfire. So it's like a nice, soft, gentle. Glasgow is that very hard, rough, quick. I've had in the past had friends from Glasgow, so I guess that's why I picked you up a little. But even I was struggling. You know, you have a deep Glaswegian accent, and it's almost impenetrable. But yeah. He was a great guest, actually. He was, I forget his name, but he was really, really good.
I think it was Kevin J. Kennedy.
It was Kevin, yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed him. Couldn't understand it, but I loved the show.
It was just a great to listen to, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We've had some guests on the show that I just listened to and drool the whole time. I'm not going to mention any names.
But... No, that, I Eggstein, you know, that's me, and I'm on every week. So there you go.
So Jerry, I'm anxious to hear more about Amnesia Girl. Do you have a reading ready for us?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact.
Yay! I get to drink.
Do you know, she said that like it was all surprise and we hadn't already planned it. But that's the magic of radio, people.
Okay. Since I'm going to be reading from one of the, I think it was like chapter 4, I will give a little explanation so the reader won't be too confused about what's going on here. The story is about a girl who wakes up in a psychiatric hospital in 1974, and she has amnesia. And she fears for her life because all these people in the hospital are just after her, and the staff is just as crazy as the inmates, the patients. And she teams up with this girl. They escape. And they go to her girlfriend's friend's apartment, who's a dumpster diving dominatrix.
Nice.
So, okay, this is the following morning. Good morning, said Forest Lawn cheerfully. And how did my precious little house guests sleep last night? Oh, just wonderful, said Farrica, struggling to crawl out of the corrugated cardboard refrigerator box. She stood up and simultaneously massaged her aching lower back and neck with her hands. She then gently rolled her shoulders a few times and slowly twisted from side to side in an attempt to get the kinks out of her back. I've never slept in a refrigerator box before. You haven't? Forest Lawn sounded rather surprised. Farrica shook her head. No. Well, I'm so happy that you found my guest bedroom to your liking. The bathroom door swung open, and Mara Marho emerged, beaming. That was the most comfortable bathtub I've ever slept in. It was more comfy than a Ramada Inn. I feel so spoiled. After a breakfast consisting of leftover carry-out Chinese food, Forest Lawn announced that she was receiving an important male visitor in an hour. His name is Jeff, she confided, and he's from Pennsylvania. He visits me every time he drives into New York City on business. You might say he's a special client of mine. A client? Inquired Farrica as she began washing the breakfast plates and utensils. What sort of client? The sort that pays extremely well, my dear. So I'm going to need the two of you dearies to make yourselves invisible for half an hour while I conduct business. But don't worry, he never stays for more than 30 minutes. Farrica finished washing the dishes. As she dried her hands with a pink and green paisley dish towel with a hole in it, she asked, "Where are we supposed to go? I don't know my way around here. It doesn't make any difference to me where the two of you go, just so long as you go," snapped Forest Lawn as she brushed her hair. "Take a walk through the red light district, do some shoplifting, or go find yourselves a wino in the back alley and rape him for all I care." "Don't worry, Forest Lawn," Mara Marho responded in a reassuring tone of voice. "We'll split before your client gets here. and I'm sure Farrakhan and I will find something to do to keep ourselves occupied. Good, because he doesn't like a live audience. At that moment, there came a loud knock at the front door, and a look of panic swept across Forest Lawn's half-made-up face. She quickly looked up at her plastic Kit Kat wall clock with its swinging tail and ridiculous rolling eyes. It couldn't be him. He's not due for another half hour. She turned her face towards the front door and shouted loudly, "Who is it?" "It's Jeff," came a muffled reply from the other side of the door. "And I brought the mannequin." "Oh, shit," Forest Lawn grumbled under her breath. "He's usually very punctual, but this time the bastard's early." Turning to face Farrakhan and Mara Marho, she shooed them out of the kitchen with her hands and whispered, "You two, quickly, go sit outside on the fire escape and keep yourselves quiet until he's gone. Vamoose." She sashayed through her horde of dumpster delights and pulled the Murphy bed down from the wall as Farrakhan and Mara Marho dashed to the window and climbed out onto the fire escape. From outside, Farrakhan and Mara Marho could hear the sound of the front door being unlocked and then opened. "Come on in, Jeff. You're a bit early," they could hear Forest Lawn say. "I wasn't expecting you for at least another 30 minutes. You'll have to excuse my makeup. I only had time to apply green eyeshadow to one eye." "Don't worry about it, Miss Lawn," Jeff replied. "I think you look even more radiantly beautiful with just one eye made up like that." "Why, thank you, Jeff. Would you care to sit down?" "Thank you. Are you ready to begin?" "Oh, yes." The strange sounds of moaning and whimpering replaced the conversation between Jeff and Forest Lawn, and as it continued on for minutes and intensified, Farrakhan's curiosity grew and grew until it finally compelled her to take a peek through the window. Through the old lace curtains, she could make out the sight of a man seated in one of the wing-back chairs. Forest Lawn was standing in front of him, delicately caressing and teasing his face with the pink and green paisley dish towel. And as she did this, he rubbed his crotch through his trousers. "Is it damp enough for you?" Forest Lawn asked. "Mm-hmm," he replied. "And is the odor to your liking?" "Oh, God, yes." Forest Lawn pulled the towel away from Jeff's face and bitch-slapped him with it several times as he cried out in ecstasy, "Yes, yes, yes." She then took the towel and violently pushed it up into his face, covering his nose and mouth so he couldn't breathe. "I could kill you with this dish towel," she told him in a vicious tone of voice, "just as easily as I could kill a housefly." Jeff let out a bizarre squealing sound and jumped to his feet, still rubbing his crotch. "It's time," he exclaimed excitedly. "And remember, you're not to look, not even a little peek, until I've finished." "Don't worry, Jeff," Forest Lawn said, shaking her head. "I know how you like it." Jeff quickly disrobed, tossing his clothes onto the clutter that covered the floor, and made a beeline straight to the Murphy bed where the mannequin was lying. "It's time for the voice," he cried, "and make sure you turn your back and don't look at me." Forest Lawn obediently turned her back to Jeff as he eagerly climbed on top of the plastic woman, fondled its breasts, and humped it. "Ooh, give it to me, Daddy. Insert your love biscuit inside my oven," purred Forest Lawn, speaking for the mannequin. "Ooh, you make me feel so lusty. I love it when you pump my cha-cha with your bull mushroom. Oh, do it harder, Jeff. No one tickles my taco like your Mr. Winky does. Your genitals are so golden." "Yes, yes, don't stop," cried Jeff. "I need to hear more dirty talk." "Oh, that's it, Daddy," Forest Lawn continued. "You're so naughty. Rub that throbbing sperm slinger all over my hoochie-coochie. Mmm, I'm your love slave. I'm your Venus. Ooh la la, launch that pocket rocket. Glaze my donut." Ah, screamed Jeff as his eyes twirled. I'm reaching the point of no return. Here I come. Don't look at me. Oh, Mother Mary, I'm about to achieve an orgasm. His words gave way to fast and furious heavy breathing, followed by a primeval cry of ee-ya, which was then followed by a minute of dog-like panting. Therica watched in horror as Jeff dismounted the mannequin, which was now all wet and glistening from his perspiration, drool, and other bodily fluids, and carried it with him to the bathroom. She saw him shut the door and could hear the sound of the shower running, the sudden mental impression of Jeff and the sexually violated mannequin bathing together made her left eye twitch.
That was fantastic. And I have to say, my word of the week is love biscuit. I love that.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That was amazing. It really was. And the fact that you could say all that with a straight face and not crack up and not like, were you like blushing crazily or anything? I think I was. That was amazing.
Well, thank you. I actually had it all memorized now.
Really?
Wow. That, no.
It so reminds me of, it does, it reminds me even more so now I think of like Chuck Palahniuk or even, do you ever, mm-hmm. Either one of you read Martin Millar, his name was? Kind of reminds me of his work
no.
as well. Just
no, it's a new one on me.
Yeah, this is such a fangirl moment, but I followed him on Twitter, and he followed me back. I mean, to me, it was the equivalent of, like, Stephen King following you back because I was such a fan of the guy's work. I had, like, several of his books on my shelf. So when he followed me back on Twitter, I was, like, so excited.
Oh, that's cool.
It was. It was a moment I was having. No, but that was so amazing. It really was.
Thank you.
Is there a sequel or anything in the mix there for Amnesia Girl?
Actually, there is.
Nice.
Oh, yay! Awesome.
There is, actually.
Have you written it yet?
He just wants to know if he can have it.
Is it done now?
Yeah.
Is it done now? Is it written yet? Get it written.
Well, I wouldn't submit it anywhere else.
Oh,
thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
Thank you. So, I appreciate if you only had the thought the other night, you've not started yet.
No, sorry?
So, have you started the sequel yet?
Oh, have I started? Right now, it's just in kind of the idea phase and notes being written down. But I'm actually working on another novel. Which is unrelated to the Amnesia Girl, but it's just as bizarre, if not more.
Awesome.
I love that, even more
bizarre?
More bizarre,
and I loved your main character's name, too. Farica, is that it? That was really
Farica.
Cool. Farica, there we go. I had a little strange, but that was...
My favorite is... how do you pronounce it? Because obviously when you read it, it's different. Mara?
Maramaho.
You know, you said that wrong. That's not how I read it. So.
So who's right?
Actually, the main character's name originally in the play, her name then was Frika. And when I rewrote the book, I thought, well, you know, I don't know, Frika. She needs to be, you know, she needs to have a name that's a little more sophisticated than Frika. So I kind of evolved it into Farica.
Yeah, I like that. That's good, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that, what is her name, Farooza Balk.
Farooza Balk.
I love her. Balk.
Yeah,
she's so freaky.
Yeah.
I do love her. That's a cool name, too.
That's a great name, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with
I actually met her when I lived in California. It's very, very nice.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's probably in her 40s now. I mean, she's the little girl in, was it Princess Bride? Was she? Or did I just totally make that up?
You're starting to do the demon thing, James.
Okay.
I know. Right. Every single week we go through this, you know, right at the, close to the end of the show. So, I wanted to know, with all these the freaky, you know, stuff that you write, and that was so cool, but who do you like to read?
You know, for horror, I like the classics, like Poe and Lovecraft, Shirley Jackson. For the bizarre stuff, I'm probably more influenced by television shows. More so than authors, because I grew up, watching like Monty Python and listening to Frank Zappa, and later on I got into John Waters and the British comedy team, the League of Gentlemen. I love them. Their humor is very bizarre.
Yeah.
And so, those are some of the people that have influenced, I think, my sense of humor that makes it so demented.
I spoke with an author friend of mine just recently, and I was asking him who he liked to read and, what scared him, because that's always what I want to know is who scares you, because I like to read scary things. Mm-hmm. And he said that's why he started writing, was because nothing scared him. So he started thinking, what does scare me? And, that's when he started writing. So, I guess I was wondering for the kind of stuff that you write, who do you get your inspiration from and stuff? But to me, that's just so fascinating to find out. And I can't wait to read Amnesia Girl now. I hate that I have not read it because, I should have already read it. But that was so much fun when we had the event for the release of the book come out, and I read all it just sounds so cool. I can't wait to read it.
Oh. Well, I hope you like it. Well, you
no,
got a little
sure
taste of it tonight.
That's
pretty much how the whole book goes. It just gets progressively weirder and weirder as it goes on.
You definitely have to pick up Chuck Palahniuk then. You really do. I think you'd really find his stuff fascinating because he's kind of like that. You just get going and from where it starts to where it ends, it's crazy. It really is. You're like, how did we get here? What is this even about? But it's almost like a train wreck where you can't really look away, but I don't know. I think that was a compliment, by the way.
It was meant to be, yeah. So I'm back. Am I sounding human again?
You are.
Hope
you're back.
So. Yay. Just in time. Well, we're going to have to say goodbye, Jay. So we need to get you. Jerry needs to get the sequel written in the next week or two, and then we can have her back on the show.
I'll definitely
try
my best.
No pressure.
No,
no pressure.
Not at all. Well, I was going to say, I usually ask people, where we can find you online, but we do have your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk Jerry, they can go there and find it. And thank you so much for coming on the show. The next time we have you on, we'll have to have you on for the full show because I want to hear more. I want more of this reading, hoochie coochie, and there were some really cool words.
Love biscuits. Don't forget love biscuits.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed it. It went by so fast. But I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on the show, and it was great talking to you guys.
And you, nice to finally get to talk to you. Much appreciated.
Yes.
Okay, it is time to say, it's that time again, it's time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Jerry.
Goodnight, James and Xtina.
Tune up until you hear from me. Pay no attention to what's said. Why people tear the seam of anyone's dream. Over my head. Do nothing till you hear from me. At least consider our romance. If you should take the words of others you've heard, I haven't a chance. True, I've been seen with someone new that doesn't. I've been untrue while we were apart. All the words in my heart reveal how I feel about you. Some kiss may cloud my memory. In other arms may hold a thrill. But please do not bend to you hear from me. Baby.
have been seen with someone new that don't mean I've been untrue while we're apart. Words in my heart reveal how I feel about you. Some kiss may cloud my memory. In other realms may hold a thrill, but please do nothing till you hear it from me. Please do nothing till you hear it from me. Please do nothing till you hear it from me. Tell your mama.